Alan Crane Productions, in association with the Emergent Life Studio, presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, Academic Lectures in Business and Economics. This is Business Finance, FIL 240, for spring semester 2024. Today, the weighted average cost of capital. The quiz will come after that, and when you're finished with the quiz, you'll be finished for the day. Now, as far as this problem goes, the topic of the weighted average cost of capital, it is a math mess, and I've created an Excel template that turns it into a pussycat. And I've even got a problem that I will download when I get to that, and that will allow you to do these problems, follow what I do for the template with the problem I've given you, and it will be no major exercise. What would usually have taken two or three classes to teach in the old days with pencil and paper and calculators, now with Excel, it's to do a problem, maybe 5 minutes, if you know where to put the numbers in. It's just amazing how much Excel reduces your workload, but that requires that you're comfortable with Excel and you know how to use the templates that are given to you either here or in your corporate environment when you get out there in the real world. But for now, just a quick look at the numbers to see that we have what constitutes a bull day, only barely. You can see that the Dow is up a little bit, 0.08%. The S&P 500 is up a whopping 0.10%, and the NASDAQ is blistering along at 0.12%. So it's just barely a bull day. You have two countervailing forces applying here. The Fed, there was an expectation that the Federal Reserve would lower interest rates a couple of times this year because inflation was under control and they'd start to let up on the brakes. Unfortunately, the numbers are not doing what we want. The embers of inflation just keep popping up. It's nothing severe, but it's inflation is not dead. And under those conditions, the Fed is not going to cut interest rates, the short-term interest rates. So we have this situation where an expectation of the markets is not going to be fulfilled, so that's a downward push on stock prices and all that. However, the other side of that is that the economy is doing well. It is, employment is strong. Other indicators are saying we are definitely in a recovery moving toward an expansion. So that's pulling the investment community sentiments bullish. And those two are playing a tug of war with each other. Those expectations on the one hand that interest rates aren't going to drop, that's a bearish thing, but the economy is showing all these numbers that are strength. So that's a bullish. So you have these tepid days where not much happens. The bulls and bears are sort of in a headlock right now. Going over and looking at crude oil, it is still bouncing around in that trading range from 82 to 88. Not much reason that it will be moving either very much up or very much down. At least we hope not. And so that's good news. But gold has definitely, and even silver, are showing signs of upward movement. That can be a bad sign because metal commodities, tend to be inflation sensitive. So that might mean that there is, in at least among the metals traders, sentiments of inflation. However, the other side of it is that it could just be that a good economy pushes prices up a little bit. Manufacturing needs these metals, and all that, and people buy some of that stuff for decorative and jewelry purposes. So it may just be that the growing activity in the economy is going to put some pressure upward on commodities prices. Which is it? Kind of hard to say. It might be a little combination of both. 10-year bonds up, and they are up 4.2 basis points. The yields are. And that, of course, is not good news. Higher interest rates tend to slow down an economy. This isn't anything spectacular at all. 0.04% rise. But that just means that bond yields are up, which means bond prices are down. And so that means that there is selling, and bonds are being sold by investors. The money doesn't seem to be going into stocks, probably not commodities either, so it's probably just being put into cash. On the other side of the world, the Nikkei has shown a couple of days of bullish sentiment. It was having some bear days there, but it was up by the end of trading last night in Tokyo, up almost 1%. So they're on the bandwagon. London, after having all those choppy days and hardly any movement or down movement, it's had some good days too. Prices, the FTSE is up for the day. It's not up spectacularly, but still 0.41% isn't bad. So there you go. Generally speaking, the markets are telling us that we do have a bullish sentiment, but it is a very tepid reserve bullish sentiment. And as the doors are opening and closing, as people come in from the solar eclipse, apparently there wasn't any kind of rapture or apocalypse because of it. Otherwise, the zombies would have eaten everyone by now. So we're all good to go for the quiz. If that changes, you know, if we suddenly have the end of the world, I suppose I could postpone the quiz for a day, but I don't think that's going to happen. Now for the topic of the day. The weighted average cost of capital. And as I said, y'all need to get this, what I'm going to do down. First things first. Let's have a look here. And of course, I exited foolishly. So I'm going to go in student view. You want to go to files. Now, you really need to have this up there running so that you know where to put the numbers and all of that. Files. We go down here to your spreadsheets. The very last two in your spreadsheets subfolder, WACC, W-A-C-C, final.xlsx. Download that. Now I'm going to reduce the size of this so you can see the whole thing. Now the entire exercise, as always, white areas, white cells are where you put numbers. Actually, that should be a white cell. That should be a peach cell, too. Bear with me. The white ones only. Now, over there in your files, right below the WACC, is the WACC problem.docx. That is your example problem, and it's how I will show you how to take the numbers out of the word problem and put them into the Excel template. If I had given this 4 years ago, we would have been going two classes just on this one problem, possibly a little more. But now, as long as you know how to pull numbers out of word problems, You should be able to do this very easily. And I've even put under here these notations of where I was pulled, what numbers I was pulling for each of these three little mini sheets here. You'll notice that the one on top, actually, the weighted average cost of capital, calculating it, you don't do a thing. All of the calculations are cranked out from what you put in here in these three little mini tables side by side in cells A10 on through G something or other. And these are little notations here. Again, these white boxes just telling you, okay, these numbers came from these numbers in the spreadsheet here in these mini tables came from these numbers in the word problem. It's just a little extra help and guidance for you in this. So here we go with all the fun. First things first, to explain it. The weighted average cost of capital, I think I should use this one, is the weight of debt times the after-tax cost of debt plus the weight of preferred stock times the cost of preferred stock plus the weight of retained earnings, common stock, times the cost of earnings, plus the weight of new stock, times the cost of new stock. Now that last term there, W sub n times R sub n, I will not use that in a problem that I give you. We'll just stick to the existing capital of the company. The capital structure being debt and equity. And equity is preferred plus common. Each of these components, I showed you the formulas, and that's what your quiz is about today, calculating these. Nothing complicated at all about it, but it can be really tedious and get you into the weeds if you're trying to do all of them, and that's one of the things the spreadsheet does. It will calculate these for you. As long as you put in the numbers, it will do the calculations on your behalf. So, the trick though is, the component, I'm making a table here, component, first column. The second table will be the market value of that component. And that's where it can get into the real hairy weeds on these. And then the weights. In here, and of course, the cost of the component. What we are going to be doing here in the Excel sheet is it will calculate each of these costs along the way. So you'll have the component debt, which is RATD. That is calculated not from the coupon, but from the yield to maturity. Now, this middle little mini table is just a replica of the one that you use for bond calculations to find yield to maturity. It's the same table, same workout. The problem is getting the market values, because the debt in this problem, $12 million in debt outstanding. But that's not the market value of it. The market value would be based on the price, not on the face value. So if the bonds are selling above par, then it would be more than 12 million. If they're selling below par, it'd be less than 12 million. That's done for you. And then, of course, your preferred 2Rs, preferred, which is R sub P, we'll get the market value of that one and its component, and then the common stock, the retained earnings, as the book calls it, R sub S, and we'll get its market value. Now, the preferred market value is just the price per share of preferred times the number of preferred shares outstanding. The common market value is the price of the common times how many of those shares are outstanding. Now, you add all those up and you get a total market value of the firm. To get the weights then, you take each of these and you divide it by the total. So we'd find the market value of debt divided by the total value of the firm, we'd get the weight. The market value of preferred divided by the total value of the firm, that's the weight of preferred. And the market value of the common divided by the total value gives you the weight of common stock. Those should add up to be exactly one. The total value divided by itself. That's what I'm doing in the sheet. So let's walk on the wild side here. We're going to take the problem, and I'll read it out just for the purposes of the podcast. And you, as you read through this, you will pull out the numbers and put them in the right place in the Excel sheet spreadsheet that I've template. VID common stock just paid a $1.80 per share dividend that is expected to grow at 2% per year. So we've got a dividend and a growth rate. We go over here to the sheet, and there is the common dividend, $1.80. And the growth rate is 2%. So we've got two of the boxes filled in. And that's what this is all about, is just getting all of the boxes with the correct information. And as I said, these little white boxes are explaining where I was driving my numbers. So now we go on in the problem. The company has 22 million shares of common stock outstanding with a current price of $34 per share. So we have to look around. Price of the common is there, so we put in a 34 in the box. Looking around, there's the number of shares. Notice that's white, so it tells us that's where that goes. 22 million shares goes in that box, white box, right beside number of common shares. Going along here, the company also has 120,000 shares of preferred, 1.5% cumulative preferred. Let's get those in. Looking around, oh, there it is. By the way, notice that it's repeated over here. You don't have to put it in twice. I just put it over there for calculation purposes. Over here in the leftmost mini box, it says number of preferred shares. So I put in 120,000. And what did it say for the, was 1.5% cumulative preferred. There's the preferred dividend. Put that in. I do concede that it's not linear. You have to kind of jump around to make sure that you find everything. And what I do, if I have this on paper, I strike out these numbers as I put them into the Excel sheet. And the par value is $85 per share, and the price of preferred is $63. So the par value of preferred, there it is, and I can put in an 85. And its current price of preferred, $63. That fills in everything in the first, the leftmost miniature table. You've got it done. Now we're going to need the yield to maturity. So this is just what you did in the bond calculations. Company has $12 million at par value of debt. So there's $12 million right there, par value of the bonds. So now it is a coupon of 4.25% right there. And then it's due in 2031. That's 7 years. So that this is, again, this is, you should recognize this table as just the one from before. And the price, the quote is 102.40. And that goes there. And you have now filled in all of the boxes and everything else is Excel. It will do everything from here on its own. Just make sure that you've got numbers in all of the boxes. The first one, notice that the price of the bonds is more than the par value because the bonds are selling above par at 102.40. This calculates the market value. If $12 million face value in bonds, if they're quoting at 102.40, that, the way it's done is you're just taking 12 million times 1.0240. It's doing it for you. You don't have to worry about it. It works hard so you don't have to. And everything else. See this cost of debt? That's nothing but the cost of debt is the coupon times 1 minus the tax rate. The preferred stock. All it's doing is taking the dividend on preferred. Where the heck is the dividend on preferred? There. Well, 1.50 times the par value, 85, and dividing that by the price of the stock. There, $63. It's doing it for you. And the common stock, it's using the constant growth dividend model, so it's just taking the dividend, one period, 1.80, grown one period at 2%, 1 year at 2%. So it's taking 1.80 times 1 plus G, and then it's dividing it by the price of the stock. That's how it's getting this. Now the market values, I explained the debt. It's just taking that number that it calculated over there. The preferred stock, all it's taking is $63 a share for 120,000 shares. And the market value of the common, it's just taking the price of common, $34, times the 22 million shares outstanding. And then it adds them up. So the total value of this company is $772,188,000. The weights, as I explained, it's just taking each of these market values divided by the total. So debt, $12,288,000 divided by 772,188 is 0.01591. Seven for the preferred stock, $7,500,000 dollars divided by 772,188,000 is 0.0097. And finally, the common stock, 752,400,000 divided by 772,188,000 is 0.9743% or of weight. Notice something. That this company's capital structure is massively favoring equity. Do you see that? Almost 97.5% of the company is common stock. The debt is only a little more than 1.5%. So this is heavily equity weighted. But anyway, the weighted average cost of capital, notice I use a sum product. All it's doing is taking each cost times each weight. So some product of the cost array, comma, the weight array. And the weighted average cost of capital is 7.25%. It's doing the calculations that the book was showing you how to do by hand. And that's the power of Excel. And that's why it's so important that you know how to use it. And through these templates, getting comfortable with how you create these extraordinary time savers. Couple of points about this. First of all, weighted average cost of capital is really important in corporate finance because it tells you how much, it's like a final measure of the cost of the funds that the company uses overall. Unfortunately, it is misused by many corporations. The weighted average cost of capital should be to guide the company in understanding what its cost structure is. But it is used in practice as the discount rate for evaluating projects. And that's bad news. On Wednesday, we'll do capital budgeting. You'll see what I mean by this. WACC is an easy way. Once you've got WACC, then you can use that for your discount rate for all of your projects. Unfortunately, that WACC is the discount rate for the company as a whole. Individual projects you're analyzing could be very risky, so their discount rate would be higher than WACC. Or they could be very safe projects, so their discount rate should be much lower than WACC. Using the same discount rate as a one-size-fits-all, that's bad news. And we're pushing out generations now of more enlightened people, corporate types like you, who will understand that we can't make it as simple as just use WACC. Another thing I want to point out. Notice, remember, debt is cheaper than equity. Do you see how little debt, how little weight? They're barely using the cheapest form of capital. Watch what would happen. Suppose that next year the company's got $30 million in projects. What would happen if they used debt for all $30 million of their new projects? Watch what happens to WACC when I bring this $12 million up $30 million to $42 million. Watch what happens to the weighted average cost of capital. See, it goes down. You're using a cheaper. Suppose that the next year, notice that the weight of debt has reached 5.35%. Okay, let's go another year. They've got 20 million more in projects. Suppose instead of using retained earnings or preferred stock, they use debt again. And let's bring it up to 62 million. And the WACC goes down again because you are pressing into service the cheapest form, your cheaper form of capital. That's why we care about optimal capital structure. Let me go back. Watch this. Go back to the original $12 million. And I'll draw one of those WACC curves. Percent of debt on the horizontal axis and the weighted average cost of capital. They usually look like this. So when we went from percent of debt that was about 1.5% to percent of debt that was more than 5%, the weighted average cost of capital went down. So in other words, they're on the downward sloping side of the weighted average cost of capital. And then when I used more debt the next year, so the percentage of debt went up even more, the weighted average cost of capital went down again. That's why it's important to know where your optimal capital structure is. This company was clearly not at its optimal capital structure. It had too much equity and not enough debt. And as it added more debt relative to equity, sure enough, the weighted average cost of capital curve goes to, weighted average cost of capital went down. So this isn't just a theoretical mumbo jumbo. It is actually how companies determine how much debt and how much equity they need to use. This company is clearly using too much equity. At the original problem, it was 97.5% equity, and only a little more than 1.5% debt. But as we increased it, on clear up to $62 million, weighted average cost of capital slid, as we would anticipate that it should. That is the lesson from this. Now, on the final exam, you will have one of these problems. And if you start out with looking at this, it looks like heroics trying to get to an answer. But if you know how to use the sheet, this template, you should have, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, just keying in the numbers and getting the answer written down. Or you can do it the old-fashioned way, like the book shows you, and you can be in a lot of trouble. But this gives you an idea of how our modern technologies can be brought to bear on real business problems. Okay. Again, these are in your files folder in Canvas. Take advantage of them. This is very useful. But now it's time for you to go to a quiz. And when you're finished with the quiz, that's all I have for you today. I thank you.